What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotnik Nier.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
I too am well. Get your finger off that can.
This? Yeah. Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Citrus chill.
I told you, it's back, baby.
I mean, that's citrus clear, essentially.
It is.
Okay.
It was, I don't know why they felt the need to rebrand.
Unflavored for me, probably because it tanked, got zero sales. Did you just buy that? It's a hot day. Did you just buy that?
I just bought it.
Nice.
Just bought it. Whoa, that's good squishy.
So how have you been?
I've been good. I was down your neck of the woods last weekend.
Camping, was it?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was great. I was in Glenmalure.
The weather did turn out excellent.
Eventually. I went down Friday and Saturday, you see.
Oh.
So Friday was actually quite cool, because once you got down to Wicklow off the N11, like, some of the drives are, they're pretty amazing, I have to say.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But we were on, so we kind of, on our way to Glenmalure, there was like a hill you go up, and you're just going across, and it was just like mist. We're like, like,
not good.
Yeah. So it was me and the lads anyway, but it was a whale of a time.
Good.
It was just really nice. Had no service for the majority until we drove up to Lara.
Oh yeah.
Had no service.
Were you camping like in
camping,
a tent?
Camping in a tent.
On the cold ground.
One of the lads gave me a yoga mat.
Nice.
And we were supposed to go hiking on this Friday morning, and then a couple of lads dropped out. So we just drove down.
Yeah.
And the weather, it turned out the weather was better for enjoying a lazy Friday morning.
Yes.
But so then I could bring more stuff, bring more drink, bring a pillow.
Was it like a drinking / hiking trip,
like,
basically?
It was no hiking in the end. We just found a place to camp. I drank a bottle of whiskey and about 15 beers.
Nice.
Over the 2 days. So that was good.
It's pretty good.
I still feel very bloated.
I'd be dead, but yeah, that's good.
But it was great. Somebody brought down some edibles.
Hello.
That was fun.
Excellent.
Was so fun.
Yeah, that's good. What were they, brownies?
It was sweets.
Oh, very nice.
But they were talking about this, how would you call it, this thing on, I don't know if it's TikTok, I guess.
This, say no more.
Jamie Lynn, have you seen the one?
No.
And it's like some girl from the north. It's like, hey, I'm in the back here. We're going on a real night out. Say hi to everyone, Jamie Lynn. And I like pass it to a girl in the front, and whatever way her neck, she's like leaning back in the front seat. She's like, hello, everybody. And like, we've all been there where you're turning around and you look mad, but it's just like that. And then reaction videos to that. Like,
brilliant.
So that was a running joke that we ran into the ground while high.
Excellent. Saturday was some weather though, huh?
Unbelievable. Is this just old man talk now, like the podcast? And yes. To get out and plant your flowers.
Well, once it stays dry, that's the main thing.
How have you been?
Good, good.
It's great to be back in studio, first of all.
Yes.
Seeing you in person makes me realise, I said this to you off mic, how much you look like a UFC guy now.
I would say a retired UFC guy.
It's the very, very, very close cut hair, and then the beard is as big as I've ever seen it on you.
Yes, that is true. That all those things are true. And I shaved my head like 4 weeks ago. Like this is it after a month of growth.
Like, was it raw?
Basically, yeah. Kerry pulled a fast one on me, because I said just cut it. And normally I'm very like, I don't care. Normally she doesn't cut it that tight. Yeah. And I was like, just whatever, get rid of it. And so she cut it, and then I looked in the mirror and I was like, huh. Well, okay. She was just like, yeah, it's like I like it that way. So I'm like, oh, okay. it's grown back slightly. It made me realize that I'm kind of going bald at the top here. It's just slightly thinner.
I give you 18 months.
Yes. 18 months, maybe 12. But Yeah.
So what are you going to do then? Will you shave it all off? If you
No,
go
I'm not going to shave it anymore.
I think there's still a good length in it. What's happened is you've gotten rid of it too tight, so it mightn't grow back the way it
Is that
was.
A thing? What?
Yeah, I mean...
Since when? How does that... How does
Why
that?
Would it... Like, if you're losing your hair and you had a big part of hair and you got rid of all your hair... It's not going to grow back the same if you're losing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, I only shaved it a couple of months before.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Well, now I'm concerned.
Yeah. I would say you need to grow it out for a little while.
I'm going to grow it a bit more. I'm not going to shave it that tight ever again. I don't know what's happening with the beard. I'm just going to keep going with it. Sometimes I look at it, I hate it. Sometimes I look at it and think it looks good, so...
Are you not like, fuck this beard?
No, not really, because I can't grow a beard if I just grow it like to your length. It looks really patchy. I have to either have it long like this or not at all. And after seeing pictures of me that I just showed you there from 2008, I will never be clean-faced again.
I can't. I would love to be able to, but I can't.
No, can't pull it off.
Just for one more time in my life.
I think eventually...
No chin.
No, I'm the same. My neck is just like... anyway... Yes, good weekend. Enjoyed the sun. Went to the beach. Sat in a tent for a while on the beach.
Oh, we brought a tent to the beach.
Brought a tent to the beach. And let me tell you, when the kids are playing and Kerry and her sister were chatting away, and I was just like, I'm going to go chill in the tent for a while. And she's just there in the tent. The dog was there. The dog came in and lied down with me. Like, it's literally about 10 feet from the water. And I was just like,
And were you like reading or just...
No, just sitting there. Like Bill House out the backyard.
Every single week.
And then Sunday I had a barbecue pool party in the back. Nice. Which was nice. I didn't get in the pool, but it was nice.
Where did you barbecue? Were you grilling?
No. I can't cook.
Okay.
That's the man of the house's job. no, but we, you know, the usual burgers, hot dogs, chicken, the usual shit.
I want to like barbecue like steak. Like, I've never really had barbecue because we always lived in the apartment.
Yeah.
As an adult, like.
Yeah.
And we haven't bothered to do it.
How are you on the barbecue?
I don't know. Like, I did it when I was younger. It was fine. Mm. But like now I'm like, I have my technique that I would use to cook my steak on the griddle. I wonder, would it be the same on the flame is the question.
2 minutes both sides?
No.
Oh, okay.
6 minutes top heat either side. Then you...
Sorry?
You heard me.
Six minutes.
Top heat either side.
6 minutes either side?
Yeah.
Maybe the griddle's different. Do you like it well done, I assume?
Medium well.
Hmm. I mean, I don't like it well done, but I just assumed that you liked it well done.
Oh, very dare
you. You uncultured swine. Okay, well, there we go. Well, let me tell you what else I've been watching.
Sure, hit me.
Well, the first thing I've been watching. I've watched the Friends reunion.
Oh, yeah.
I actually loved it.
Did you?
I have to say, I was totally invested. I for the first 5 minutes, I was thinking, should I be cynical about this? Should I be like, shut up, this is... But you know what, I just went with it, and it was lovely. It was a great send-off. I do agree, Matthew Perry... didn't look quite on the same frequency as the rest of them. And I got the impression like he was trying to tell jokes sometimes, but it always came off a bit like awkward, like no one really laughed. There's a bit at the start where he's like, oh, I don't hear from anyone. You remember, I don't know if you've seen that bit where they're all saying...
I haven't seen the whole thing.
It was all like, you know, oh, if one of us picks up calls, the other one will pick up the phone and all this sort of stuff. And he made some, I'm assuming was a joke. It's like, Matthew, has your phone been ringing off the hook? He's like, I don't hear from anyone. And like, but like, it was like, he wasn't laughing.
Yeah.
And like, no one else, there was a bit of a laugh there and then they moved on. I was a bit like, that's a bit awkward.
Considering how razor sharp a wit he was.
Yeah.
Like, he was so quick.
Yeah.
On the show, like his delivery on the show. And also when you see him on talk shows and stuff, he was just, he never missed a beat. And now it's just so sad. It's like,
and it was his, even in some of the table read scenes and all, like he was still able to, like, you realise the importance of his delivery to his jokes.
Oh yeah.
And it was one of those shows, it was just a real feel-good factor. Even stuff that I'd seen a million times, I was laughing at more because it was in the context of this whole reunion show and all this. The outtakes were great and, like, they just actually did it very, it could have very easily been naff, and maybe it was a bit naff, but
it was a part, and the James Corden stuff just kind of ruined it.
He was fine. No. I watched it. I mean, I was thinking, okay, fair enough, some people don't like him, but you can't criticize that. Like, he was actually quite good, I thought, quite like likable.
Nope.
Okay, well, we're not going to agree on that.
Not this guy. I thought Lisa Kudrow looked great, though, I have to say.
She looked identical. Yeah. She didn't look like she'd aged at all.
Maybe a bit thinner. You know, that's it. Yeah. Like,
she looked fantastic. Mm. She looked great. David Schwimmer was...
He's okay.
He looked pretty good.
Joey, looking at it now, Joey looked the best.
Joey seemed like the most like comfortable in his own skin.
He's like, I'm just a fat old Italian guy. Like, you'd see him sitting outside Satriel's in Sopranos, like, sitting there reading the paper.
Sitting there with his arms crossed.
Yeah.
But he just seemed very, like, he didn't give a shit. Yeah, very at peace. He's not trying to be, he's not trying to stop any sort of aging or growth or anything like that. He was just kind of...
I want to see him in a sitcom now where he plays the Norm character. Like, make me another Cheers. But not Cheers, but have Joey be...
Do you think he's funny, though? You know what I mean? Could he be funny in that sort of... He was kind of...
He was funny on Friends.
He was in episodes.
No. Oh, that show, yeah.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, that was good.
It was pretty funny.
But he was funny on Friends. You look back on it, his jokes are very obvious jokes.
Yeah.
But sometimes his delivery, like, was really, really good. Like,
yeah. I mean...
He was obviously the weakest, I would have thought, of the three.
Yeah. You know? Probably. It kind of made me, like, when I was looking back, of just, like, really appreciating it more... And I know, like, because it's on so much, you have a tendency to be like, you know, yeah. Like, it really was, particularly those early, like, season one and two.
I'm on your boat now.
Season one and two and all, where you're just like, oh, that was...
We were talking about it at the weekend, and I was like, season one, man, Ross in season one. They were like, no, season 10, Ross. I'm like, no, yeah, not speaking my language there. I'm sorry. He was too much at the end.
Yeah, he was too crazy.
Yeah. They gave him too many characteristics. You know, his first one was, it was like,
Boy.
He was a nerd, you know, and he was uncool. And then it was like, he was, had a really bad temper. And then it's this, you know, he's
been
getting
to the
spray tan or what, you know, like, what's he up to this week?
Yeah, I know.
Like, he whitened his teeth for some reason.
And
they
made Joey too dumb then as it went on. Yeah. One other thing that I've been listening to, actually, Terry, I was listening to Yearbook, which is Seth Rogen's autobiography.
Is it good? Does he narrate it?
He narrates it. Not only him, you've got Cheech, Dan Aykroyd, Snoop Dogg, Jason Alexander.
Okay, one for four.
But you've got like about 40 others, like, because he does a very good job of narrating, and that whenever it cuts to a scene of like what he's talking about, so it's him and his friends or whatever, it'd be like they'll be voiced by different people.
Oh, that's
or whatever.
Cool.
It was really, I really enjoyed it, and like it was funny because there's one chapter all about Amsterdam, where they went to Amsterdam, and it was just the way he put certain things. It just reminded me of when like we went, where it'd be, their plan was to do mushrooms and to have a picnic in Vondelpark. And so they were like, okay. So they took the mushrooms, way more than they were supposed to, the highest ones.
Oh.
And then they were in a store getting food for the picnic or whatever. And then it was just his describing coming up in the store and just been like, it's like at that point, it didn't matter what we bought. It's like, we weren't eating any of it. Like, and it was just that line. I was like, you have the best intentions going in, and then you're like, the idea of eating something on mushrooms, was like, no thanks. So there was loads of just like little things like that.
Oh man, I gotta listen to this one.
It was very enjoyable, I have to say. I may even go back and listen again, but would highly recommend, no pun intended.
Lots of talk about our trips to Amsterdam over the weekend, just reminiscing about talking shite. But man, some fucking, like, I remember getting the juiciest pineapple when we were on mushrooms. Never tasted anything like it.
That was, I've never had an experience of tasting something where I could feel it. I could feel it in my toes.
Yeah.
I could feel, like, as soon as, like, you know the way where it's like with mushrooms that, like, whatever new suggestion is like all of a sudden the best idea ever. Like, literally, you could be, I'm not really into this song. Like, I'm sad now. And someone's like, or you'd be like, will I change the song? I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, change it. I didn't realize we could change it. And but it was like that when you brought out the pineapple and mango. I'm like, oh yeah, great idea. Like, who knew we have free will and we're not just slave to this, whatever this is.
Okay.
Oh man, that was unreal. But yeah, that's all I've been up to be honest, since the last time we spoke.
I'm trying to think. I see it. I didn't really get a chance to watch anything over the weekend. So, you know.
Are we going straight into Friends right now? The Friends?
The Simpsons?
Are we going straight into The Simpsons right now?
What did I watch? No, I watched the end of Mayor of Easttown.
That's what I want to talk to you about as well. Now.
You got 3 minutes.
Okay. I finished episode 4.
Okay.
And I tell you, that show's got some nerve.
Of being as good as it is?
Nope. It's got some nerve of boring me for 58 minutes and then giving me a little hook at the last 30 seconds. Like, well, I have to see how this ends. But I'm not really enjoying it, like, to be honest. But something happens the last 60 seconds where I'm like, all right. It's really annoying. The rest of it, I'm just like, oh, I'm sad now.
Well, there's a lot going on.
Oh, it's just horrible shit after horrible
shit. It's funny,
I
thought.
Is it, though? Yeah, like, what's funny about it?
I mean, it's a slice of life.
Is it, though, as well? I don't know. Like, I know everyone's raving about it, and I'm trying to get on board, and I've watched 4 episodes, so that's something.
What do you make your man from WandaVision, you know?
Love him.
Yeah, he's good.
I love that guy. Yeah, he's good. I've seen him in a few American Horror Stories as well, I think it was. No, I haven't watched the episode, but I've seen he was in it. But yeah, I like him. He's got a good face.
I thought he did good drunk acting in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's very believable.
Yeah.
I like you.
I like the writer guy, but I don't know. I have a feeling...
The who?
The her fella.
Oh, Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce? Is that Guy Pearce?
Yeah. Huh.
I've heard the name. I've never put a face to the name.
You mean the villain from Iron Man 3? Yes, of course.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
How did I not know that?
Oh, here's what I was watching.
Huh?
Last thing.
Terry, please.
I was watching some wrestling.
Ooh, yeah?
AEW Double or Nothing 2021. Let me tell you, Andy. It's probably the best pay-per-view I've seen in the last... 10 years, maybe?
Huh.
It was pretty much every match was amazing.
What was it called again?
Double or Nothing.
Oh, the new Double or Nothing. Wasn't the one that we...
No. This year's one.
Oh, okay.
So it was like... And they made a mark out of me, is what they did. I was sitting there watching it, and the baddies, or the cool bad guys, the Young Bucks, were like... I know they're supposed to, you know... It's wrestling. It is what it is. But I was like a child again, being like in my head, like, they're cheating, like, get out of the ring, like, why isn't the ref stopping them?
I absolutely hate them.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, and I was like, after the match watching, I was like, man, that's pretty good. It must be pretty good if it's able to get that
emotion out,
that reaction out. Yeah, like, as a 35 father of one. Like,
I know. I must check it out. We've had a few requests to go back to some wrestling episodes, actually. So we may do that.
But it was great. You know, if you were to jump in now, it'd be an amazing starting point for you.
Right, Double or Nothing 2021.
Yeah, because it's the culmination of a load of stories, and then if you want it to go on, it'd be like fresh ones.
Is there Double or Nothing like their WrestleMania?
I think so.
Like the big one.
Yeah, I think so, because it seems to be the biggest one every year.
Yeah. Okay.
But they only have 4 a year, so you know they're all kind of big anyway.
4 pay-per-views,
yeah. Yeah, and the rest is all TV, and then they have, like, TV specials.
Jericho still in it?
Yeah, he's in the main event.
Oh, excellent. Mr. Main Event. Yeah, that's one, like, I mean, I think I've officially said goodbye to WWE, to be honest. It's something different now. It's something completely different. It's something even different than what it was 2 years ago when it was something different.
What, like, would it take, like, The Rock making yet another comeback to maybe get you interested?
The Rock making a comeback would make me tune in, if I'm being honest. Or Black Adam, as he will soon be known.
Excuse me?
Is that supposed to be any...
It's DC. I'm not really well-versed on that.
Okay.
I don't know the villains or anything like that as much.
Yeah, if someone big came back like that. But like, it's just too... It's even gone a step further than PG now. It's like wrestling's almost a...
It's, you know what it is? It's,
yeah,
I hate to use this word, but it seems too fake.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like the one I was watching last night, where it was like one of the angles in the storyline was that like your man got powerbombed the week before and got like legitimately knocked out. Like, right. They had to like not finish the match and kind of Carl and Audible.
Yeah.
And they kept like referencing that in the promos leading up to it, that it was like, you know, you're putting your career on the line here or whatever. Like, he had the chance to walk away from this, that kind of stuff. And you're like,
That's a good way to play into it.
Like, an accident happened, but like it seems real. You know, they're referencing it. Whereas WWE, just nothing.
They'd never show it again. They'd never show a replay.
It doesn't seem like real life at all. It doesn't seem like, you know, these guys are going home to their wives and living a life. Like, that's whereas AEW does kind of that way. Like.
But it also seems like WWE has about 500 people on the roster or something. Where I'm like, at a certain point, I'm just like, no.
They keep releasing them as well. They don't know. They only have a handful of ones that they would stick to properly.
Anyway.
22.
It's a 22 good, minutes of preamble. Yeah. Terry, can I talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
Please.
Now, I've got a lot to say about this particular episode. Let me just get my notes up here. Now, can I talk to you about the 9th episode of the 8th season? Don't know the name.
I think it's supposed to be like...
El Viaje Homer Mysterios.
Yeah, I think it's like the Mysterious Voyage of Homer. That's what it's supposed to be.
Homer's Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Awesome.
Aired January 5th, 1997. We're into 1997 now. Written by Ken Keeler and directed by Jim Reardon. The episode was pitched as early as the 3rd season by George Meyer, who was interested in an episode based on the books of Carlos Castaneda.
I think there's going to be a lot of that in this episode. You're like, reference off something that I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He wanted to do an episode featuring a mystical voyage that was not induced by drugs, so decided to use a really hot chili peppers instead. The staff, except for Matt Groening, felt that it was... It was too odd for the show at that point. Bill Oakley and Weinstein resurrected the story and decided to use it for season 8. Most of the hallucination sequence was animated completely by David Silverman, who didn't want to the risk of sending it to South Korea, as he wanted it to look exactly as he had imagined it. The coyote was intentionally drawn in a boxier way so that it looked otherworldly, unlike the other characters. Fox Censors sent a note to the writers questioning Homer coating his mouth with hot wax. The note said, "To discourage imitation by young and foolish viewers, when Homer begins to pour hot wax into his mouth, please have him scream in pain so kids will understand that doing this would burn their mouths." The scream was not added. However, they did add dialogue from Ralph Wiggum saying, "You don't want to get whatever wax in your mouth." Homer waking up on a golf course is a reference to something that actually happened. A friend of the producers blacked out and woke up on a golf course in another state and had to buy a map from 7-Eleven to find out where he was.
The idea of that, like, that as a story idea, and in real life, that it's just like, and I woke up in the middle of a golf course. Yeah. Like,
security. Last thing, in its original broadcast, El Viaje Misterioso de Nuestro Homer finished 34th in ratings and first for Fox, with a Nielsen rating of 9.0, equivalent to approximately 8.7 million viewing households.
You made it.
Whew. Without taking a breath.
Do you want to get started with your notes?
Sure. Now, I don't know what this note is in reference to, but I just have... there it is. Kicking back. What am I talking about?
That it's like he's in the paper. He's looking at his paper.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I just love the picture of kicking back.
Just,
like,
it seems so much more fun than the other articles. Like, there it is. Kicking back.
Yeah.
Excellent. And just the whole build up of Marge trying to not make him aware, you know, and the whole, like, no, why would I need to ride this afternoon? And she like runs up, gets the vacuum, like all this sort of stuff. Really good.
It's funny bits, like the animation does look odd, even the regular,
very odd,
even the regular part of it, you know, where it's like Homer and Marge, like Marriage is almost like olive oil at times, where like your arms are too like. you kind of feel like you're at the start of a trip already. Like
it's very, and I was waiting to hear in the production or whatever. Like, what was it animated by different animators this time? Like the whole episode is completely different. It looks very cartoony. Yeah. Even the music is a bit like a bit cartoony in it.
I know they're going for that, like. Different for the middle chunk of it anyway, but yeah, the whole thing of it was just
very odd, I thought.
And I didn't like it. I didn't like the look of it. Like
I'm gonna say this now. The Insanity Peppers bit was the least craziest part of this episode. That's what I'll say. It was a very I didn't know what I'm watching. Is this like a parallel universe Simpson? And
yes, exactly.
You know, like in theory, like I quite liked the subject matter, and I even quite liked the story. Like if I'd seen it on a different show, I'd probably think great episode. But whether it was the animation or
that's what I was thinking when I was watching. It was like if they didn't call this a Simpsons, you know, and it was just something else,
a Simpsons special presentation or something different.
But like.
Even if it was like a different show with different characters. Yeah.
No, if it was like, if you didn't know. Gotcha. No, let me finish.
Uh-huh. I hear you loud and clear.
If you didn't know that this was a Simpsons, you know what I mean? Like that this TV show was called The Simpsons. If you're watching it with no context, no baggage with it, you would think that's a good episode. Or you think it's an interesting episode or something like that going on. Whereas for me, it just felt really off.
Very, very weird. I didn't expect. I knew that the animation got all, you know, obviously trippy when after he eats the pepper, but yeah, right before it's very
like Marge smoking a cigarette. Like it's just very like,
and her face like it's mad frown like that she never makes, or even Homer when he's looking for his chili boost and he's like aha, but like at the back he's like. Like just looks odd.
I think we might have watched this when we were on drugs before as well. Like it made it even worse.
Was this one that we watched? No, this wasn't one that we watched in Amsterdam, was it?
Yeah, I think was it? Well, it was one time. We definitely had this DVD with us.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that was my next note. The animation in this is very weird, very cartoony. And then even like little things like when they get to the chili. Tell me if I'm jumping ahead here, but when they get to the cook-off or whatever. Like, Lenny's just selling the spice rack. Doesn't say a word to Homer and Marge. He's just a prop. Like, he's like, he literally doesn't move. Like, he's part of the scenery. So, I thought, you know, at this point, I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? Is he tripping already?
Now that you mention it, like, it does seem like a very, like, odd placement of him, of all the characters they could have used.
And then, like, I mean, I get it, fair enough, Mo had a bit of a reaction when Homer is, like, tasting Mo's and he's like, but, like, you wouldn't know that they're friends from this exchange. He's, like, Mo's just like, like, not like, hey, Homer, blow it out your ass or whatever he'd say, you know? Very strange. I don't quite know what's going on. Anyway. Let's see, what's my next note here? Homer's not even... Oh yeah, fucking what's the word? I'm not gonna say a rude word, but Helen Lovejoy in this episode.
Yes, very
oh my
much.
God. I forgot Homer's not even with you. Probably knocking back a
Call
few refreshments.
Helen. He was very good in this episode, I have to say. Like,
yeah, he was very good. But just like Jesus, what an arsehole.
Like Homer going around being Mr. Chili. I think it's good. And again, it's almost like you've entered into a short film. The music changes.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's an homage to whatever, a Western.
Yeah.
But like, it is, like you say, jarring. You're kind of jumping from pillar to post here.
Yes.
Just in terms, there's no real like flow.
Yes. You know? That's like, exactly it. There was no flow.
And you're jumping from Marge, who's like at the lion dancing. Like Smithers is... You know, I do love the word honky tonk. That's one of my favorite. Where he's like, I wouldn't honk the honk. I'm like, what is this? What's happening?
And he's got, and he turns around. This was like hot
Nashville nights.
Nashville night. Oh, like it doesn't even like what's that got to do. Like I thought, like oh, it'll say Smithers on the back. It's like hot Nashville nights. Like ooh,
but again, it's like no context, no follow up. That was that, and it was there for their sake. Like.
I wonder if this was all deliberate. Like, either they're geniuses or they've missed a trick
this
here.
Is the, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Of all the ones we've watched in the last while, I was just perplexed.
Yes.
Throughout the whole thing.
And I have to say, this is one that I've actually looked forward to talking about, like, more than I have anyone in recent memory, because I was like, so, like, am I not, is this just me noticing this? Is he going to notice this too?
Yeah. You get to I guess, Wiggum being like the chilly boss.
Yeah.
Like, I do like that homework going around. Mo, I think, was a bit of a weird choice to play that guy. Like, yes. You're saying, like, Flanders is perfect as like the like five yeah. lamb chili.
Wait a minute. I love that. One, two.
Two and a half tops.
Like, are you going to jail, Dad? We'll see, son. We'll see. like for Flanders, this is really a bad thing. Well, I just wanted to be a big man in front of the boys.
Is there another one before Mo?
I don't think so. And well, like, maybe there is.
I love like Chief Wiggum, where it's like, hold on, let me get the word. Where it's like the spicy insanity peppers of Twetzel Kaganga.
The most confusing word ever. Yeah. Yeah, and I have to say, I love that the visual or the animation of the chili, like, touching his tongue and turning it, like, bright, like, you know, lava almost.
Just thinking out there, I remember this episode was released the same day as the Alien episode. They did, like, a double episode Sunday, if you remember, on Sky.
Really?
So the next episode is the Springfield Files, and they released back-to-back, and just because you're saying that, like, that animation where it touches Homer's tongue, and he starts running around crazy. And then the next episode, they have when Homer gets scared by the alien. I remember he's like running in the cornfield, like spelling out help. Seems like they're like
made together, like.
Yeah, and it also seems to be a trend of like you're losing your grip here.
Yeah.
On what was keeping you grounded. You know what I mean? You're starting to see these very cartoony, very like fourth wall breaking.
Well, that's what moments. I was wondering as well. I'm like, is this just an anomaly, or have we started to reach, like,
maybe,
you know, that point where you're just like, are we on a downward trajectory here? I mean, like,
this one,
because I think it was still going up a seven. The seven trajectory, is, even right to the last episode, was still on the up from six and five and four, in my opinion, anyway.
We've kind of been up choppy so far. I mean, Ronnie, how many episodes in?
Six? This is nine.
Nine already?
Jeez. I think.
So like it's been a mixed bag so far. And I'm just wondering, like,
yeah, how's the rest of the season gonna pan out?
And looking at the list, it's like, oh, there's some good ones here.
Yeah.
But
they're those memorable ones, like, that I feel like you'd get maybe seven or eight in seasons four and five, where you're like, oh, definitely remember this. This one's a classic. Everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. And they were the ones that usually didn't quite live up most of the time.
Yeah.
But I feel like season eight has a higher concentration of those memorable episodes. You know, like the Chili Pepper one, everyone remembers. Yeah. The X-Files one, everyone remembers. You know what I mean?
They're like big, so, yeah, I guess they're big event ones, but they're not. I would save it for the end anyway. Homer, like, when he's taking the chilies with the wax and all, they're like,
and sorry, I'm doing it, but before that, Terry, when he's pouring the wax in his mouth, and who the fuck is that? Where Ralph is like, you don't want wax in your mouth. Who the fuck is that? What sort of animation is this? Sorry, you're happy with that? Like 20 takes and that was the best one. Who the fuck is that kid? You can't tell me I'm not tripping watching this episode.
I did notice, like, why are Ralph's eyes so far apart?
Weird little freak child, like. So I sure hope someone got fired for that one.
Oh Lord.
Anyway, and then yes. I'm glad it's not just me.
No.
Okay, good.
Homer eating the chili, he's like, I don't know why, it just makes me uneasy every time.
Yeah. Because you just know, like, he's about to go through the... Well, just, I mean, I don't know... Well, we were actually talking about this the last time, of how you are with spicy food.
I like it, yeah.
But, like, what was... like, it kind of reminded me of just watching that show, Hot Ones, of, like, just don't let it touch your lips. So maybe that's what he was going for when he was just...
You is know that what the thing is?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
How would you do that?
Huh?
How would they do that? If you're taking a bite over, it's still going to get a bit on your lips.
Like. You get a bit, but you try and limit it.
The lips is the taste.
And you got to swallow it quick. Don't let it linger.
So much to learn. I've had Loco Caliente wings on a night out as part of somebody's stag. And here's a tip. Don't get it on your hands and then immediately rub your eyes.
Well, yeah.
You'll spend the next 30 minutes in the bathroom trying to wash your eyes out. And my,
it sounds unpleasant.
My fucking hole the next day. That was spiciness.
Unpleasant?
I didn't say that.
Oh, very good. Anyway, yeah, I have the thing. I have this episode looks like it was made completely by someone else. But then
it is interesting though that like Silverman, you know, chose to do that. And
He said he just animated the.
Did he not say that he won? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's not.
It does matter, Terry. Hold on. No, just hang on a sec. Talk amongst yourselves. The hallucination sequence was completely animated by Silver.
Oh, I tell you, he'd done all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have made sense. Like, oh, I guess that's why it looks so freakishly different.
But we're on to the hallucination part now anyway.
Which was very well done, actually.
Really, really good.
Very well animated. Probably the best part of the episode, I would say.
And like, the way Homer's head... is like going in and popping out the other side.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell. Like,
it was really cool. It was just
like,
very...
just the way he's like, whoa. Like, how he's like liquidy.
And Flanders like, what can I do?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Could you?
Excellent. So yeah, I loved all that, and the sun going up and down and all that was really cool. Yeah, like the whole thing. And I have to say then,
Johnny Cash,
great performance. Unbelievable. Great performance. And I kind of forgot. It was only when I was looking at the episode, I was like, oh yeah, Johnny Cash is in this. They had wanted Bob Dylan as well, turned it down, of course, like he did for the Lollapalooza episode.
I think it's better as Cash.
So much better. He's got like an all-time classic voice, and it fits perfectly. It was perfect, like, with that space coyote. Yeah. Who knew?
Fear not, Homer. I am your spirit guide.
Hiya.
There is a lesson you must learn.
If it's about laying off the insanity peppers, I'm way ahead of you.
No, I speak of a deeper wisdom. The problem, Homer, is that the mind is always chattering away with 1,000 thoughts at once.
Yeah, that's me, all right.
Clarity is the path to inner peace.
Well, what should I do? Should I meditate? Should I get rid of all my possessions?
Are you kidding? If anything, you should get more possessions. You don't even have a computer.
You know, I have been meaning to take a spiritual journey. And I would... Hey! Knock it off!
Sorry. I am a coyote.
Look, just give me some inner peace or I'll mop the floor with you.
Good. Your mind is in a state of readiness, so listen well. To make yourself complete, you must find your soulmate.
Soulmate?
Your kindred spirit. The one with whom you share an unspoken bond, a profound, mystical understanding.
That's it? Well, that's Marge. Big deal. Great spiritual quest, Wolfie. My soulmate is Marge.
Is it?
Hey, wait. Come back.
A role I was born to play, baby.
And plus, I did like the little the fact that when Homer goes off into the desert or whatever, that it's Otto where he's like, let him go.
Yeah.
You know, like Otto knows, you know.
That's what I sent you the other week when you were going into the water. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. I was a fan of the line, note to self, stop doing anything.
Don't do anything. Yeah. I kind of felt like major like Homer Cube vibes from this part.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, I was a big fan of that part. Yeah. So like,
special presentation. Yeah. Then you get Helen Lovejoy, call off your dogs.
That was good. Like how she was very much like the daughter, Meryl Streep character.
The daughter?
Like when she was like, oh. You
know, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, there's Meryl Streep.
Better you hear it from me than a gossipy neighbor. It's like Homer made a total ass of himself.
Bart and his hat, I really liked.
What?
His hat. Check out my hat.
Oh, it's one of my favorite jokes in the whole episode. Hey, Elise, time for chili. Like, I don't get it. It's like, this baby's wasted on an idiot like you.
Like, better than your hat. It's like, what hat? And marriage, like, just, like, again, so furiously funny. Gripping the wheel.
Yeah. And, like, it's kind of, it's weird that you get, for such a mad episode, like a bit of real, I mean, like there's realism in there, you know, of like the Homer marriage is his soulmate and all this, but then just her being open with the kids of like, your father decided he'd rather come back in a cab or whatever, or a police car.
The idea of Homer coming back and like just being like, hey, you know,
yeah,
everything's okay, like argument's over.
It's like, someone's cranky because I didn't come home last night.
Cranky.
But yeah, what else I got? Yeah, very good. When he does wake up, I like the whole thing of, you know.
Brockman?
Well, yeah. First of all, you got Brockman. It was great.
Hey, get off the course, you bum. Security.
Security. And then, where he's like, and I bet the pyramid was just that pro shop up miles up the pyramid. That was great. I like that.
I actually liked the bit as well when Homer comes home and it's Bart and Lisa. He's like, so he says to me, but I say.
I know.
I'll finish this later. Like, hi, Dad.
So he says to me, but I says. And then, like, yeah, they have a little fight or whatever. And Homer's outside the house. He's like, wherever my soulmate is, it's not here.
Excuse me?
Like, just like that? Yeah, off like, he goes.
He's like, she doesn't get me at all. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
It's like, oh, okay. Giving up rather easy there, champ.
Yeah. I love how when he goes to Moe's, he's trying to, you know, hey, Barney, my soulmate.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, the list they run off.
Yeah, what is it?
Barney's more of a chum. Lenny's a croony, Carl an acquaintance, Larry is a colleague, Sam a sympathizer, Bumblebee man, a compadre, Kearney an associate, and Hibbert a contemporary.
Yeah.
And of course you have Mo, who's a well-wisher. In that I don't wish you any specific harm.
Any specific harm? Yeah. General harm, yes. And the whole, like, I never really got it. As a kid, when he's on the phone.
The soulmate, like, yeah. Personals, like.
And he's like, I also enjoy long walks on the beach. Or no, rainy days and movies. No, I don't like that.
Or that.
It's not that I'm afraid. I'm going to hang up now.
Yeah. Then they give you the little, you know, at 17, Janicene thing, you know. Like, I learned to learn.
Yeah, good song.
Hey, love it. But it's that whole... I don't know, I think they did it in Austin Powers as well, where it was like,
it sounded like from Austin Powers, yeah.
Except they did it with Burt Bacharach, but it was like, you know, it's all that like Lonely Hearts Club or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, you know? And by, this one is just like,
employees, no vacancy.
Yeah, you know, like,
just random signs. Like,
I thought that was quite a good joke. But again, it doesn't fit in the rest of the episode. I was like, thinking to myself, that's a good gag, but I'm like, but, like, what are we doing?
Again, it shouldn't
like,
be here.
Like, it shouldn't be here. Like, yeah. It's like a sketch and just then, dropped in. Like,
and you got, like, I think of this line all the time where he's like, find your soulmate, Homer. It's like, but where? It's like, this is just your memory. I can't give you any new information.
It's great. Like, that's a great. Good.
And, it's, like, even we didn't really talk about it, but his whole, I just love this whole delivery of, like, should I get rid of all my possessions? Like, are you kidding?
Yeah, very on a computer.
Yeah, you know, really well done. And then my next note here is then Homer spots the lighthouse.
Again, like,
What?
Earl, oh, Earl, no more loneliness for me and Earl. I'm like, you've lost your mind completely.
Yeah, and
like,
I mean, I know
you're
he
having
does...
a breakdown. Like. Yeah.
He just assumes the lighthouse.
Yeah,
like,
the lighthouse keeper, the loneliest man in the world, like me. Not that like I don't have a load of friends that I was just with and yeah. family at home.
Just go like, to Moe's, yeah. like, come back the yeah. next day.
Fucking get. I mean, maybe he's like he's still his brain chemistry has been altered after those chilies.
Yeah,
like,
maybe actually. Yeah. He's still on a bit of a come down.
Yeah. Yeah, could be. It's only been a day. Like.
Yeah. And he ate like six of them. They are insanity
okay,
peppers
now
after
the,
all.
Now the episode makes sense.
Maybe that's
Homer's
it.
Homer's like still.
Kind of insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm willing to give
I'm
him the benefit.
That's a lot. Look, the big.
It's good
reach.
For Homer, but not for us,
reach.
The viewer. Yeah. Then you have the bat signal gag, which is yeah. good, yeah. you know, it's fine. And then, yeah, he's just going mad now where he's like,
this is
the
like,
ship, they'll be my friends. Like, what's
like
happening?
When they smash the light and it's like, yeah. you know, like that.
Yeah. He's going crazy. Like, all right. And I did like the little thing of the captain and the co-captain
yes.
where he's
always
like,
good.
It's like, the man, the precious cargo. It's like, oh, the hot pantser.
Aye, the hot pants.
You know, and then like when he realizes, like Marge comes to the lighthouse and inexplicably yeah. finds him at the lighthouse.
That's the whole fucking shitty spiel. There,
yeah,
you know.
Although I did like her gag of how like because you always said public transportation is for losers.
It slopes kind of downhill that way.
And I remembered your love of blinking lights. So it's like you know what that one I'll even allow that one. And then they fix the light bulb with a nice gag of giant light yeah. bulb. And then where he's like, it's like, what's the, what is it that he said?
Hard a starboard. He's yeah. like, so port?
I port. And then a very odd, like, you know, they're kissing, fine. And then it's like, hey, it's short. And all of Springfield somehow yeah. is on the beach. It's like, all of, he's like, who likes their short shorts? What's the fucking line?
Yeah. I wear short shorts.
Yeah. It's like, we wear short. And then that's it.
And like,
a fucking bonkers episode.
Is that.
And we're kind of rushing through it, but like.
But is that supposed to be like. Are we in the middle of... Have we moved into like a fucking, you know, 50s beach movie or something
I
like
guess.
That? Like at the end where
I think
like...
They're get, are they get, but are they getting to the stage where they don't know how to end them? Because last week it was you so crazy and now it's this.
Yeah, I mean...
That's too...
Like this one seems to be jumping genres every other
yeah,
second.
Every couple
like,
of minutes.
You know? Like you're like... It's a, you know, pastiche of a Western. It's, you know, a psychedelic trip. This bit at the end, it seems very much like... A
50s.
Yeah, you
like,
know, like...
Yeah.
They're kissing, their silhouette is there, and, like, everybody's, like, in the water dancing.
But then again, like, when I was younger watching this, like, that joke did work.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So that's what I think is, like, I'm like, it's not the joke's fault that it doesn't work now. The joke stayed the same. I've just changed. You know what I mean?
I think
looking at it from a more well-rounded view
maybe
now?
Maybe when you're younger.
You're not thinking about the plot.
It's like, that's funny because they sound funny at times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or like,
yeah.
that's an interesting music cue to go along with that. Like, hey!
Yeah.
Or like, that. It's just like, okay, it's funny because it's a joke. You know,
yeah.
and you think, oh, it's a, sometimes you think, oh, it's a joke. That's funny.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
As now where maybe you're a bit
it's
older.
A joke. I'm laughing, but now it's yeah. like, well, no, I'm not laughing.
Yeah. Exactly. None of this one.
Well, Terry, look on that bombshell. Should we get into ratings?
Sure.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, pal. I'm pointing the finger squarely at you, the viewer. What did you think, Terry?
I mean, it's an interesting one. We've kind of talked about it. We've talked around it. Like, I can't tell if I dislike this episode or not. Like, just in terms of... I can appreciate so much about it. Like, the whole middle chunk, I was like, wow,
yeah.
this is great. But it was just tonally really, really odd. It seemed... How would I say... What was the one we watched where it was... 7.5 recently?
Oh,
it was Lisa and Nelson.
Yeah.
Right?
Date with Density, yeah.
Didn't, like, that's a better, maybe structured episode.
Yeah.
Didn't really enjoy it as much. Like, whereas this one here, like, I think I enjoyed it more than Lisa's date with Density, but I don't think I should have, if you know what I mean.
I know. It's a weird one. Like, I can't decide whether, like, I like it or I hate it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, or whether I love it or I hate it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a beer, like we said at the start, if it was its own standalone thing, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna cut the bike in half. I'm gonna give it a 7.9.
Okay.
And MVP.
Who's your MV?
I'm gonna give it to Johnny Cash just because I think it was the best performance in the episode.
Yep, I agree.
Like, everybody else kind of seemed a bit off, whereas he was like this. He was this like warm. Yes, blanket, you know,
that's exactly what it was
when the space coyote was talking.
Yeah, I know. Ironically,
so yeah, Johnny Cash.
I'd also give it to Johnny Cash. Like I said, there, I think the Insanity Peppers was the most sane part of this episode. It was very all over the place, very very odd. I don't know is that just the animation now.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No. So, like, I don't know. My rating at the start was an 8.0. So I will stick with that.
Mm.
My second one above yours in this season so far. So, yeah, a bit odd.
But bit odd. We're back to maybe more normal with the Springfield Files. But again, just even saying that, it's an X-Files crossover episode. Like,
yeah.
It's probably going to be weird too. Like,
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm watching this space. I'll say that.
Where can the good folks find us online?
You can find us on Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Put It In H Podcast. We put up a lot of clips and video stuff there on Instagram. We have our newest, you can find our latest episode. You can find our other podcast, What's So Great About Marvel. You can find our Bill Oakley interview, our merch. Some, I don't know what's going on with the merch, but someone's having a laugh at my expense, and I'm not laughing. Someone's fucking reefing the key rings and the pins out of the letters. And I thought, okay, first time I just didn't tape it. Fine. Like, I'm an idiot. But I've been taping them, and now they're taking them. You seen the picture with a big fucking, it was a bite. It was a bite that was taken out of the fucking, I don't know where, Minnesota, possibly. Sorry, Timothy, if I got your state wrong. But I mean, it's just, what's happening? Anyway, you can find merch there. Hopefully it reaches you. I have someone in America who sent me a thing saying, hey, I just got a sticker, you know, because I added a few stickers.
Sure.
It's like, hey, I just got the stickers, but there was no key ring. I'm just wondering if you can send it again.
These
I'm like,
things are wanted.
And to America, I'm losing money on this. This is in stamps.
Anyway, thanks for all your support.
Thank you for your support. And you can find also a link to the Patreon there.
Oh, the Patreon.
Yes, the Patreon.
Well, for the low, low fee of $5 a month for 50 euros, and we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
You get access to 4 bonus episodes per month. You get 2 of our sister podcasts, What's So Great About, and we're at the moment, we're doing Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
What's it? We've conquered Marvel. We've conquered 90s action. So we're getting into deep water with Cantwell here. Off to a rocky start with The Notebook. But
I mean, it couldn't be rocky. Major turbulence.
But on the other 2 weeks of the month, you get bonus stuff such as our top 5 album openers. We're recording our top 5 needle drops from movies after this episode.
Now, I've said the word needle drop. Everyone that I've said the word needle drop to, they think I mean record scratch. So, you're wrong.
I'm right.
Technically, it is needle drop, but every time I say it, I have to go into extra detail. Oh, you know, like a movie scene where the song makes the scene better. So, anyway, I've interrupted your flow. Apologies.
No problem. But, yeah, loads of other random bonus episodes. So, you'll get them, and if you can't afford to support the Patreon, look, we know times are tough. It's fair enough. But what you can do is write me a rating or review.
Us, yeah. Okay.
So in this episode, there was 5 alarm chili, and I want a 5-star review. Don't give me a 2.5-star review. I want a 5-star review.
He fucking did it. Yeah. 5 and 5.
Unprecedented. really helps grow the podcast, get some new ears on the dreaded content. and if you made it this far, I want to thank you for listening.
Or watching.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to put the video up. It's probably up on Patreon by now. And the other one will probably also, the top 5 needle drops will probably also be video 4. So enjoy that if you're a patron.
Until next week,
keep watching the skies.
Hey, that actually works.
I learned the truth at 17, that love was meant for beauty queens. In high school, girls with clear skin smiles who married young and then retired. The valentines I never knew, the Friday night charades of youth were spent on one more beautiful. At 17 I learned the truth. And those of us with ravaged faces, lacking in the social graces, desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone, who called to say, come dance with me, and murmured vague obscenities. It isn't all it seems, it's 17. A brown-eyed girl in hand-me-downs, whose name I never could pronounce, said, pity please the ones who serve, they only get what they deserve. In the rich relation, hometown queen marries into what she needs with a guarantee of come. Remember those who win the game, lose the love they sought to gain, in debentures of quality and dubious integrity. The small town eyes will gape at you in dull surprise when payment due exceeds accounts received at 17. Cheat ourselves at solitaire, inventing love. ugly girls like me at 17.